So let's do it. Parshas Miketz. Parshas Miketz, stemming off of last week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeshev. Right, just a little background based on the story, what's going on. That Yosef, he was down in Mitzrayim, and he was put in jail by Potiphar after being accused for having relationships with his wife. And over time in jail, he earned a lot of respect. That was the entire process of Yosef. You know, every time he was going, he was on his way to the top, and boom, all of a sudden something happened, he fell to the bottom. But again, he worked his way up and up. And we know that he interpreted the dreams, especially the dream of the Saramashkim, and the Saramashkim's dream came true, and he was freed, and he ended up serving Paro again. And we know on the way out, he said, "Hey, do me a favor, you know, don't forget about me." And because of that, Rashi likes to say that based on the pasuk, he ended up forgetting about him, and Yosef spent an extra 2 years in jail. And again, in the beginning of this week's parsha, when it was Yosef's turn to sort of be brought out to finally interpret the dream for Paro. It's brought down the Medrash that he was praised for his hishtadlus that Yosef HaTzadik did in order to try to obviously, you know, save himself and get out of prison. And the truth is he was a mamon b'Hashem. He had a lot of emunah and bitachon, but he was punished. He was nana. He received onesh because he was somech on the Saramashkin. So the obvious question is based on this whole story. So did Yosef have emunah v'bitachon or not? Like, we all of a sudden we're praising him. Whoa, he's so great. He's doing all these things. But mitzad sheni, he's getting punished because of the fact that he was so mich on the Saramashkim. So in terms of Yosef, so was he a good guy? Was he a bad guy? It says, you know, he was punished, but he was also, you know, it was also praiseworthy. His level of ishtadlus. So what exactly is going on? So one mahalcha is brought down by the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, the famous Rav of Brisk, the father of Reb Chaim Brisker, the grandfather of the Brisker Rav, the Griz, and the great grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik, the Grid. So he explains as follows that you have to look at really the madriga of who Yosef HaTzadik was in terms of where exactly was Yosef HaTzadik holding. The truth is, his request to the Saramashkim at the end of the day after he interpreted the dream, it was normal. This is called normal hishtadlus. You have a person sitting for a very long time in jail. You're able to, you know, you have a certain way of getting out. You can't just sit and, you know, just daven and just be somich on a Kodesh Baruch for nisim and niflos. So any normal person, that's what we call proper hishtadlus, normal hishtadlus. You know, but the truth is, the level of a person's hishtadlus really depends on a person's bitachon. The less bitachon a person has, a lot of times he'll want to, you know, take more initiative, himself, and do more, and try to accomplish more, because he doesn't have that bitachon in Hashem. But other people, you know, there's certain special people in the world that have such great emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and feel so connected to him and trust him, that they, enoch inami, they'll do hishtadlus, but, you know, they don't need to go overboard with all that hishtadlus. Yeah, question. In terms of finding, correct, very, 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 very much so. In terms of mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be mekayim those mitzvahs legamri. Or just speaking about here, in terms of general day to day life, in terms of, okay, so a person wants to get this done, a person wants to move on, progress. Certain people have more faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to certain people, you know, like to take more initiative themselves. So the issue was Yosef. His madriga, based on the Medrash, he was a tremendous mamon. He had a tremendous amount of bitachon. Aye, so what's the pshat? That was dafka his chait. That was dafka the sin. a person like Yosef HaTzadik shouldn't be going around and asking for favors from a butler, from a stupid butler, from a convict, from someone who's in prison, from a lowlife like the Saramashtin. His darga was you know, throughout the process he was fully out of Emunah Hashem. He was after he got thrown in the pit, he got sold down to Mitzrayim. He was seduced. And he wasn't around any Torah environment. He wasn't around any Torah figures. And throughout the time, he had Emunah Hashem, and he was a tremendous Baal Bitachon. All of a sudden, now, he just slipped up a little bit. That's not Yosef. Say, if a normal person were to do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would appreciate that. You know, I get it. You have Emunah and you're davening, but the truth is, you know, we require certain hashtalas. We spoke about that earlier this year, based on the Gemara Nida Daf Einam and Beis. That it's not enough to have either tefillah or hashtalas, right? Ha below ha lo sagi. We've mentioned you need both. You need that formula, both tefillah and hashtalas, both Emunah and hashtalas. So that's one mahalach on that. And yeah,
I hear what it's saying, but in a sense, you could ask them, like, if you wouldn't ask the baller to remember, there's nothing to be so much that means he'd be keeping in jail forever. So for not asking the baller, like you're supposed to jail.
Exactly. So that's so between us type of chevra, we like to refer to ourselves almost like pasha type of yid. Us, we're on that madriga. That's what the Beis HaLevi is agreeing with. But that's coming from our perspective. Like when we speak relative in our terms, it's like, sure, you know, what do we have to lose? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to try. But the Beis HaLevi is being mechadish something. That a level of Yosef HaTzadik, he never asked for a single favor from anyone throughout the whole process. He didn't ask anyone, you know, make Potiphar's wife go away, or he didn't plead with anyone to save him from the brothers or whatever. He was on his own. It was him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yosef was on certain standards, which is, you know, he, depending on your darga, that's where he was holding.
The story of the guy who's in the flood sent the boat, the helicopter.
Like this is maybe this was to take it out. That's a very good point. But we just see just for the mashmos and the psukim. But if that was his ticket out, the biggest kash is then why did he? Why was he there for two more years? Why was the end of the medrash? You're great. That's really the first part of the medrash. But the safer you, it's a tremendous kash that if you answer like that. Why? Because what's the chat? He was still punished. Why was he there for two extra years if that was his ticket out? So clearly there was something going on there. So that's one mahalach, which is just very 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 applicable. That, you know, sometimes doing too much is just not. Sometimes it can hurt you. A person has to know, right? We always speak about hishtadlus and effort, but a person has to know what is the proper effort. What is the proper amount of effort in terms of, you know, quantity, how much a person is supposed to put in, and also in terms of quality type of what does effort really mean? Can we just a person's, you know, trying, but if you're doing the wrong thing, you're just totally going on a totally different path. Quantitatively, how are we putting in how much are we putting in, and how are we putting in this effort? I can say a lot in terms of like yeshiva guys here. It's you see different guys. They have different schedules, especially at night sitter, where it's very open. You have the ability to structure yourself. But I always like to say throughout. I think that I spoke with Ari Leibowitz about this once, and we agreed that it's almost like the best guys in yeshiva are the guys that just stick to the schedule. But like stick to it, like rigidly, like Shaul, like here in yeshiva, the schedule is designed to make you great, not good, great. But it's a certain science. Whether it be again from the minyanim, depending on the times and the locations in yeshiva, even with the between from seder to seder, halacha seder is supposed to learn halacha, musar is musar, be'ian, be'kias, night seder yichazer, and throughout. And it's almost like throughout the schedule, during the break, being productive in a non-classic yeshiva learning type of way. Learning during the break could also be good. Playing ball during the break could also be good. Taking a nap could also be good. just being productive though during that break. But it's that whole schedule from 7:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night, which the yeshiva here has it just built for you. It's great. It's greatness being served on a silver platter. Guys sometimes like to do more, but the issue is sometimes if you do more here, it comes at an expense over here, and it's very hard to balance. Not necessarily. I would encourage guys to try to stick to the schedule as best as they can, because after all, over the years, I've seen the guys that are just very like rigid, just very like this is what it is. Like there's no compromise. This is what I'm doing from now to from time X to time Y. After a while, you see such a difference. As opposed to other guys, sometimes it's nice. I like to see guys. They learn late and early in the morning, late at nights. But if it's coming at an expense to your main things in terms of part of the schedule, it could be tough. If you're able to manage it, call a kavod and keep it up. But if you see yourself slacking almost in the quote unquote primary areas in terms of what we're supposed to be learning, potentially we might have to adjust. A second mahalach in terms of the stira. Whether I don't understand, Yosef HaTzadik, did he have emunah or he didn't have emunah? He had bitachon or he didn't have bitachon, based on this medrash. So the Chazon Ish answers. The Chazon Ish of Avram Yeshayo Karelitz, from Bnei Brak, the brother-in-law of the Kilos Yaakov, the stipler. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he said, the truth is, this was normal hirshtadlus. And Yosef, however, he was actually a tremendous Baal Bitachon and a tremendous Baal Emunah and a Maamin Bashem. And he was always he always was thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, it was the right move. It was the right move exactly what to do to request help from inside the prison to not forget about me. But what was his mistake, Rabosai? He didn't realize the crowd he was dealing with. Ain't a chinami that what's going on, says the Chazon Ish. If Yosef was dealing with what a regular yid, that's totally acceptable. A yid helps a yid. Where was he? He was in Mitzrayim, in prison. The most impure place on earth at the time. In the most disgusting place, in a prison full of criminals. And he wanted someone on the inside, a convicted felon, to bro him out, as they say. You're to do him a favor. So what, Yosef HaTzadik? He interpreted a dream. You think these types of people care? These people were low lives, selfish people. He didn't really. It totally just went over his head that who he was dealing with. Okay, Shkoch, he befriended people. He earned a lot of respect in the prison. But you still have to remember who exactly you're dealing with. And since This really wasn't considered a real request. This wasn't considered therefore it wasn't considered sufficient, or nor was it considered logical hishtadlus. And therefore, since Yosef did insufficient hishtadlus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately punished him, and he had to stay in the prison for two extra years. What do we learn from this? Two ideas from these two mahalchim, Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish. Guys in yeshiva, we're b'nei yeshiva, we're b'nei Torah. That's where first you're ben aliyah. From the Beis Halev, we understand that depending on what darug you're holding, those are the expectations. Here in yeshiva, we need to hold ourselves to certain standards. We have to say a lot of times when we face other challenges and other face certain temptations, that's not me. Not that, that we're different. No, I'm a ben yeshiva. I'm a ben Torah. I'm above that. I'm better than that. That's how they lived in Slabodka, godless Adam. Right? That type of schmutz, that type of event to go to, that's not what a ben Torah does. It's not that. It's not like, oh, like, if that's too cool for me, and like, I like to learn, so I may be more nerdy. No, I'm actually better. Those types of events, those are where the most impure people belong. Those are where that's the schmutz. That's one idea. In terms of the Chazon Ish, in terms of knowing your crowd, sometimes you have to figure at these events and these environments and these crowds. You have to know in terms of what's shayach for you sometimes and what's not shayach for you. What's relevant for you? What's made for you? What's not made for you? Understand with these two yesodos from the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish, you can sort of put together a mahalach for Bnei Torah. when especially when they're outside the walls of the Beis Medrash and they're interacting with society. What we have to get together as a chevra, as a chabur, and say these are the standards we hold. Certain things we don't do. Certain things we don't watch. Certain language we don't use. Certain content we don't speak about. That's why, because that's not us. That's for children. That's for a bunch of low lives. We are quote unquote trying to live a high life, a life full of kedusha, life full of tara. So I'd kind of idea number one. Idea number two. I don't know if it's so much more of a takeaway, but almost just like it's a nice remez to note that within our parsha, there happens to be a mention of Bias HaMashiach, which is very beautiful in terms of the fact that Miketz always comes out around Hanukkah time, that we see such miracles, and we see Nisim in the flow, and it's like Torah was like so close to being wiped out, and it's like, we read Parshas Miketz, and it's like, whoa, we're about to go from like everyone being Greek and like not Jewish anymore, to like, hey, we're very close to the Geula right now. And that's as follows. Yosef, we know he was in jail for many years. He ended up interpreting the dreams in jail, and what happened? Pretty much like we just said, he ended up getting those 2 extra years, as we explained. But what happened at the end of those 2 years? As soon as it was over, it was over. As soon as somehow, the Pesukim say as follows: in Rishon. All of a sudden, no one was able to figure out. None of the Chartumim, none of the magicians were able to, or astrologers were able to figure out who in the world to understand what exactly were these dreams. And all of a sudden, this guy, the Star Mashkim, just pulls up out of nowhere 2 years later to the date, and he says, "Vaydaber Star Mashkim as parle more es chatai ani maskir ayom." Par, I'm sorry. I think I might have sinned because I should have told you something. Right, and it goes on, and Sarmashkin tells Paro that he also had a dream in jail, and he didn't know what was pshat. So he had this guy who ended up interpreting it for him, and it actually came true. And Vishami Tonu says the pasuk Mem Aleph Yud Beis Nar Ivri Evet Lesar Tabachim. The former slave, the Hebrewite, right? The Jew that worked for Potiphar, the minister of all the butchers. He's able to explain dreams, and you know it worked. So what happened? Vayishlach paro vayikras Yosef vayaritsuhu min abor vayagalach vayachlev tzimul sabi avol paro. Paro said, as soon as, whoa, someone can interpret a dream? Quickly. So what happened? They ended up just ripping him out of the board. They rushed him out of the board. Vayaritsuhu. And he ended up, they made it, they shaved him, they gave him a haircut, they gave him nice clothes in order to be presentable before the king. And that's the lashon of Vayaritsuhu. The fact is, the sudden, this quick, this quick rush, and the pshat is that that's exactly how Bias HaMashiach is going to come. Mashiach is going to come like this. It's going to be very, very sudden. How do we know this? The Sforno on the spot alludes to this. Says the Sforno, Kiderach Kol Shuas Hashem Shenasas Kimo Rega. Every type of Yeshua a person receives, a person is going through a hard time, a person needs a salvation of Yeshua, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. Then all of a sudden, in the snap of a finger, you're able to see Yad Hashem. Something, you get something going your way. There's something that just clicks. And it's like, whoa. It's instant. It's sudden. You can't even think twice. And it's like, whoa. Before you can even think about, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something, it's like, you're back on track. You receive that Yeshua. Many times throughout Chazal, throughout the Torah, we hear about these Yeshuos that happen very quickly. There's a Bnei Yisrael, and Mitzrayim, and Yeshaya, and especially Malachi. In Malachi, the Pasuk says, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Upitom Yavo El Hechalo. And suddenly, what's going to happen? It's a prophecy. Mashiach. is gonna show up. Suddenly, yeah, Malachi Perigimel Pasuk Aleph. Upitom Yavo El Hechalo. Malachi Perigimel Pasuk Aleph. It's gonna be sudden. And that's something also to realize here. That certain things, it just happens sudden. A lot of times at this stage, it's almost like the midpoint. Almost we're getting closer to we're almost getting close to the midpoint of the year in yeshiva, and it's like people are like some people are succeeding in certain areas of learning, are struggling in other areas of learning, and they want to know, you know, when am I going to have that click? If some of you have had that click, kol hakavod. But if you haven't had that click yet, or certain things that you're struggling with in yeshiva, it's like, so it's been an issue already for El Par Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Oh, we're almost finished with 4 months. It's like, what's going on here? The answer is you have to always be ready. I remember always when I was in 12th grade, I was on the basketball team, and I played a lot, and I was a pretty solid player, but I for sure wasn't the best player on the team. But I remember, it was a time when for a good amount I was in and out of the starting lineup, but only really six of us played. I was six man in some of the games I started, but I always played a lot, and I always ended up just down to the wire, the crunch time. I always found myself on the court involved and having real shyness in the game. It's because, and I always felt ready because my coach always told me, just be ready, because you never know. Love Dafka for the entire game. You know, I'm gonna drop 50 points and just dominate the game throughout. But it could just be for that 1 or 2 minutes in which it actually matters down the stretch. Whether it be in a basketball game, whether it's gonna be in life, you just gotta be ready, because you never know when that opportunity is gonna come. That yeshua, that click, and it's just gonna be like, here, quote unquote, catch the ball. Kadosh Baruch Hu passing you the ball. Exactly, and it's like, yeah, if you're not ready, it's like, boom, the opportunity just goes over. Just goes right over your head. And we don't have so many opportunities in life. That's when you come very sudden, they come very quickly. That's something that here in yeshiva also is very, very important, to always be alert. Some small moments happen very, very quickly. Right, we mentioned this all the way earlier in the year. One of the Hakdamah Shirim. I just like this point so much that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik mentions that in Yom Kippur this happens a lot. You have the two goats, the Seal Hashem, the Seal Lasis, and the Seal Lazaza. Right, they're both the exact same, almost identical goats. Same mahalach, same approach in life. A lottery, a snap of a finger, and that's it. Two different paths for the rest of their life. One opportunity, one quickly. Things happen suddenly. One ends up going to Hashem, the other one, all of a sudden, we chuck off the cliff. But it's almost like us in yeshiva here, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Any moment could be that moment. It might necessarily come in the most flashy moments. It could be in the middle of a halacha seder, where you're half awake, half sleeping, and all of a sudden, boom, you read a line Mishnah Berurah, and like, all of a sudden you get pshat, like it gives you a pshat, like the entire siman in terms of what's going on, and it's like, wow, I was very geschmack. And it could change a person's day, change a person's week, it could change the zman for a person. If when that opportunity comes, a person is ready to be toe-faced that opportunity. I've got idea number two. And the last idea that I wanted to discuss about is also something that happened during the beginning of the week's part, in this week's parsha. Right, the pasuk says, and the pasuk opens up, "Vahim mikes shnasayim yamim uParo cholim v'hine omed al yaor." After 2 years, Paro was dreaming, and he was standing by the yaor. What's the obvious kasha? Paro, what's the lashon? UParo cholim. What's that's what type of tense? Past, present, or present or future?
Present.
Present. He was dreaming. He was dreaming. What does that mean? He was dreaming. The pshat in the story we understand is that he dreamt. He woke up. No one understood. He didn't understand what the dream was. No one was able to understand. He ended up bringing Yosef. He told him over the dream, and that was it. So it's a pshat. He was dreaming. And then in the lashon of hove, as opposed to the lashon of avar, doesn't make sense. If anything, we should be saying that in the past. Okay, he dreamt. What do you think? He was dreaming. He was dreaming the whole time. So the Yosnayim, the Torah brings down Rav Zalman Saratsky and Zecher Tzadik Levracha from has a strong heritage from Tells, a little in Cleveland, right? Represent a little Eretz Yisrael, mainly in Europe. That Paro's entire life, Yisod was, it was one long dream. One long dream. One large fantasy. It didn't have that much substance. Why? Because he was just dreaming. He was always concerned. He was thinking, oh man, these Jews, they're going to occupy and conquer the land. What am I going to do? He was thinking. He was dreaming. Those were like those nightmares that he had. And the regular dreams is that Mitzrayim, even though it was the most disgusting place, it was also pretty powerful. So he was a king, so he thought he was a ruler of the world. He thought he was God, to a certain extent. Remember, you know, the famous story where it was almost like why the pharaohs, they would go to the bathroom, you know, by the Nile, where no one would see them, because otherwise they would think that they're humans. They tried to portray themselves that they aren't humans, that they don't even use the restroom. And it got so bad, in which, like, he was just a flat-out kofar. Like he denied that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed. He genuinely believed, he was dreaming. He was dreaming, but he genuinely believed that, you know, he was the source of all creations in this world. And it's just so false. Why? Because that's what happens when you dream. Go if you live a life just full of dreaming, 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 you don't see any fruition. You don't see any action. You don't see any results. That's also just a very, very important message. The truth is, certain dreams are good. I'm not going to lie. His types of dreams, obviously, were not. There are only certain types of dreams that can have real toelos. There's dreams that involve hope, a certain level of tikva, that represent hope and aspiration and want and desire and determination. Those types of dreams, it's okay. You're able to dream big. Don't be afraid to dream big, but don't dream too much. Don't live a life of fantasy. Live a life of authenticity. Live a life doing. Stop dreaming and start living. It starts like for here. God put us in this world to live. Live life. Don't just dream. Don't just think. Do action. Especially here. It's Hanukkah time already. Sometimes, you know, we look back at our goals almost. Like sometimes people make goals before they come to Yeshiva, before Chorus Man. It's like we look at the goals. Like, we have different thoughts about what we want to do. What we hope to do, what we hope to accomplish. And it's like, you know, this, that, different things that are in the way. You know, time's ticking. Wake up. It's almost Teves. Make it happen. Don't live on this edge of, like, you know, you're trying to survive day by day. You're trying to dream to the future. Just do. Be an Avram Avinu. Right? What was Avram Avinu known for? Emor Ma'at Ve'ase Harbe. He was a doer. Just do. Things you want to do, things you want to accomplish in Yeshiva, just go for it. If you need help, okay, you seek out Eitzah. From different things. We're here to help, but it's not only the want, not only the having the desire is great, but also putting it into action, and that's such an important point. Which anything you want to do, don't feel restricted. Don't feel hesitant. Just go out there. Certain things you want to learn. Certain kavrusas you want to try. Certain topics you want to study about. Certain things that interest you here in Eretz Yisrael or the Beis Medrash, in terms of culture from our past and the present. Just go for it. And it's really with these three yesodos, which I think are just so connected to Hanukkah. Just the fact that us as Jews, like we said at the beginning, and the way with the fact that, you know, we are the Amma Nivchar, this would be good for the Chazon Ish. Just pretty much to summarize. And the first idea we spoke about, the Beis HaLevi holding ourselves to high standards. And the Chazon Ish in terms of, you know, knowing who's Shaykh for us and who's not Shaykh for us. That's exactly what the Jews were going through in the time of Hanukkah. We're not like them. Right, me Lashem Elai, Micha Mokhwalim Hashem. Who's gonna be on Team HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's us versus the rest of the world. Okay, so that's us. But we got to, so if we're separate, we got to hold ourselves to certain standards. And the second idea we spoke about is that, again, these sudden ideas. The war, you never know. We could be wiped out. We've been close to it. We've been very close to just being wiped out in a second. We don't know. Every Jew has to understand. Part of the whole miracle of Hanukkah is really understanding, you know, it's our time. It's a proof that it's our time to shine. We just got to be ready for it. And through the last idea of there's dreaming. Right, you can dream. Wow! All of a sudden, ten, twenty Maccabim are going to end up beating an entire nation. It's actually doing. Forget about the thoughts. Forget about the dream. Forget about the wishes. Just do. And with Bezalel Hashem, we should take these three sodos and apply it to our lives and use this as a chizuk for us, especially in terms of the May Nisim and the flows, in terms of Hanukkah, and it should be a source of chizuk for us for the rest of the year moving forward.